Last month, the New Orleans City Council's Community Development Committee introduced an ordinance implementing a citywide rental registry beginning in January 2018. The ordinance, sponsored by LaToya Cantrell and Jason Williams, will require rentals to meet a checklist of health and safety requirements before the property can be rented out. Joining me to talk about the Healthy Homes Ordinance is Maxwell Chardulo, Director of Policy and Communications at the Greater New Orleans Fair Housing Action Center. Maxwell, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. First off, briefly share with our listeners the mission of this nonprofit organization.
Sure. So the Greater New Orleans Fair Housing Action Center is a 21-year-old civil rights nonprofit, and we are working to work against housing discrimination and segregation. We're actually a statewide organization, so across the state, though we're based here in New Orleans.
Okay. Speak briefly about the substandard housing crisis we're experiencing right now and the threat towards the health and safety of families.
Absolutely. So it's a dual crisis, both of affordability, which is, I think, something that everyone hears about, but also housing quality. And I think that gets a little less attention. But we have thousands of families right now across the city in all neighborhoods living in units with leaks, rats, mold, and all sorts of other hazards, and with no working system to hold their landlords accountable.
Yeah. What are some of the key provisions of the Healthy Home Ordinance?
Sure. So the Healthy Homes Ordinance is something that a coalition of 30 different groups as part of the Healthy Homes Coalition have come together to support. And it would make sure that rentals meet a very basic standard of health and safety, things like you have to be hooked up to city sewers, hot and cold water, electricity's got to be working, as well as it would create a system so that tenants can report their landlords for violations and that neighbors and other folks can do the same and make that transparent for everyone to see. And it would also create some accountability for those landlords and ensure that tenants are protected from retaliation.
And it's so unfortunate that this is a conversation, right? If I can speak for myself as a renter, I'm pleased that this is happening. However, I'm not sure if landlords across the city can say the same. What response have you received from landlords or property owners?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we've actually received a lot of positive feedback from smaller landlords, folks who see this as an opportunity where, you know, they no longer have to compete with the bad actors in the system. And I think there's a lot of small landlords who are tired of hearing about terrible slumlords, and they want to work on an equal playing field. And this sort of sets that up. We have received some fierce opposition, but it's primarily been from larger landlord groups based in Metairie.
Okay, those who have bigger properties and who have to come up with that bigger rental registry fee.
Potentially.
Yes. Well, we're actually joined in studio right now by a property owner. It's Miss Hannah Krieger Benson. Welcome to All Things New Orleans.
Thank you so much.
As a property owner, what are your feelings toward the Healthy Homes Ordinance?
I first came to the Healthy Homes table and discussion not specifically in my role as a landlord, but in my role working in policy and advocacy. I work with the Music and Culture Coalition of New Orleans.
Okay.
And we deal with the ways that law and policy impact music and culture. So I'd been hearing from musicians and other cultural folks for the last year or two about issues in housing. And so it was something that had been on my radar for a while. But when this came up, my reaction as a landlord was sort of what Maxwell was just talking about. Very, very positive. I am more than happy to participate in this so that it can isolate the bad actors, so that it can clearly outline who is not acting well, and so that it can act as a buffer against these families and various New Orleanians suffering in conditions that are honestly unimaginable to me.
Yeah.
And I think are unimaginable to the folks raising the fierce opposition. You know, I don't think they can really comprehend what it's like to live in a place where you're, you know, a toilet falls through the floor because the floor is so rotten and that kind of thing. And so, as a landlord, I'm more than happy to pay a nominal fee. You know, it's a fee that is absolutely not going to break the budget in the interest of ensuring some basic safeguards of human safety and decency, even if it's, you know, something that I hope would never apply to my own properties. And I rent out part of the property I live in and then another one as well. So I have a total of three tenants. And again, you know, but I don't feel the need to stand up as a landlord and be defensive the way I've heard some people be and say, you know, well, I'm a good landlord. This shouldn't apply to me. Well, I try to be a good landlord, so I'm more than happy to participate in this.
Yes. I have one major concern in regards to the rental registry, and that is an increase in rent. With all the fees and fixes that need to be made to apartments and rental homes, is it safe to assume that renters could experience a hike in their rent?
Well, what comes to mind for me is this. In some of the debate that's been heard, some of the landlords raising the fierce opposition, again, these are often larger landlord groups, I think often based in Metairie, although not entirely. I heard the term skyrocketing rents used a number of times. The rents are going to skyrocket. And leaving aside the fact that these are folks who I have never seen stand up for housing affordability in any other context until now, I found that very disingenuous because rents are raised as a result of choices made by people. And again, these fees are very, very low. And, you know, I am a small landlord and I find them perfectly reasonable. Yes, it's money that I'll be paying that I wasn't paying before. But even if the rents were to be raised by the amount of the fees or, you know, to have those fees split with the tenants, that is a rental increase that is very, very small. And if landlords were to use it as an excuse to quote unquote skyrocket rents, then that's on them. And again, that's them not acting in ways that I think reflect the label of good landlord, which they claim that they want.
Right. I think there should be some type of moral standard if you're going to be a landlord, right? Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Maybe they can include that. Who knows?
And can I actually say one other thing about,
sure,
about that? One of the sort of driving, I guess, reasons for my involvement in this, aside from, again, the work with Magno, where, you know, it's clearly an issue for a lot of the music and cultural folks in the city, which is who I try to work with and advocate with, is the incredible power imbalance that was represented in the debates around this issue when it first came up in city council committee. You know, to have on the one hand folks talking about these fees in just the strongest language, as though it's, you know, the most egregious imaginable step. And then on the other hand, you have folks telling stories literally up to and including, you know, suicidal thoughts because housing conditions were so bad and there were no other options.
Wow.
And again, you know, that's why I find some of the opposition to this to be so problematic, is because it is discounting the lived experiences of other folks and their lived experiences that these people raising the opposition have never had to face, and they're not, you know, there's a privilege imbalance and there's just a sort of moral disconnect there that I find really problematic.
Yeah.
I just want to jump into and speak about this imbalance that we're talking about, because there's a privilege imbalance, but there's a legal imbalance that's really important here too, which is that our landlord-tenant law right now very much privileges landlords over tenants and puts tenants in such a position that if they are having issues with their landlords, they're essentially responsible for enforcing any sort of accountability on their landlords, and they just don't have the power to do that. With our eviction laws and so many other pieces, tenants are just at incredible risk whenever they file any kind of a complaint or even speak to their landlord about asking to get something fixed. So any sort of complaint-based system like we have right now, where we put the onus on the tenant, just doesn't work because folks are so fearful of the, you know, dozens of calls that we receive in Southeast Louisiana Legal Services, the legal aid group here receives. It's just a fraction because we know most people will never pick up that phone and even call for help.
Right.
Because
they're afraid.
Exactly. Because they're afraid.
Right. So the final vote is coming up.
That's right. We expect the Healthy Homes Ordinance to receive its final vote in front of City Council. And that date is Thursday, February 23rd. City Council meetings start at 10 a.m. Though often a lot of actual substance doesn't come up till after 11.
All right, Maxwell. Hannah, thank you so much for stopping by on today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Hannah Krieger-Benson and Maxwell Chardulo, Director of Policy and Communications at the Greater New Orleans Fair Housing Action Center.